have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3 this morning. And I'm going to be talking about just staying on the right path. Staying on the right path. Proverbs chapter number 3. And I'll read a couple of verses. Verses 5 and then verse 6. This is what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Staying on the right track. Sometimes that's easier said than done. Yesterday, I was headed to Clemson. I wanted to go to the parade, and I was supposed to meet my boy, my oldest son, at a certain place at a certain time, and I was running a little bit late because it was early and it was cold outside, and had to go through Liberty. And when I got to Liberty, like I said, I was already running a little bit late. When I got to Liberty, there was the train. And I seen that train, and I stayed there a little while, and it looked like it's going to be a long one. And I y'all need to pray for me for patience, because I don't have patience. So the first thing come to my mind was just turn. So I took a turn to the right, and I said, I'll come out on 123 somewhere. So I just started turning, and I come out, and I seen 123, but there wasn't no way to get on to it. I went over it. I said, what in the world? So I turned back around, and I went a little ways, and I said, well, I'll just take another road. So I took another road, and I got down there, and when I came to 123, guess what? I went under it. Wasn't no way to get on 123. And I knew where I was at. I was out there by the tree farms. I went all the way back to Liberty, just about where I came from, to get on 123. How many of you know sometimes it's easier to stay on the right path? So I was late nevertheless, but in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20, Solomon spoke of the path of righteousness. Last Sunday we talked a little bit about it, and we saw that the path of righteousness is the better path, and it's the blessed path. And this morning I want to begin by looking at why it's the best path. You know, as Christians, we need daily guidance in our lives to keep us, listen now, off the wrong road and keep us on the right road. And Solomon tells us that there are paths of righteousness, and we talked a little bit about it last week. They're directed paths. And listen, they're directed by God. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you desire the Lord's guidance in your life? We do, don't we? Sure we do. We all do. And let me ask you this. Do you need him to direct your path? We do, don't we? We want our paths to be directed by the Lord. But to be honest with you this morning, it just doesn't come natural. It's a choice. We talked a little bit about that last week. It's a choice that we all have to make. The word right there, with all thine heart, that I read, calls for an absolute and total trust and acknowledgement in God. So I want you to notice several things with me this morning. As we talk about these directed paths, I want you to notice, number one, that in order to stay on the right path, and this is very simple, we must obey his will. In order to stay on the right path, the directed path, the path that God wants us to be on, we've got to be able to obey his will. The Bible says there in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Solomon tells us there what to do. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The trust that is called for here is more than just confidence. It's obedience. Think about that. We ought to have confidence in the Lord. that he's going to keep his word, and I do. We need that confidence, but this trust is a total and a absolute commitment and an obedience to him. One commentary that I read said this about the word trust. It means to lie helpless, waiting on the master's command, and readiness to obey. And that's pretty good. It's like a soldier yielding to the command of his general. Bradley, my oldest son's got a dog named Tilly. He's a lab. She's a lab. And I love that dog. It's the sweetest dog I've ever seen. Obedient. I mean, my son can take that dog and make it sit and get a dog treat and just put it right there at her mouth and say, "No, Tilly, no, Tilly." And Tilly will just sit there and just be obedient. I mean, just as happy. And then all Bradley's got to say is, "Get it, girl." And that thing's gone just that quick. I mean, it's confidence with obedience. And that's kind of the way we need to be when it comes to the Lord. When we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, is to be completely and absolutely obedient to whatever the Lord's will for us to do. Listen, a directed path calls for us to, listen to this, submit to God's will. I learned many, many years ago that God will not show me his will if I'm not willing to do what he has shown me. Think about that. Listen, when God was calling me in the ministry, I could preach my whole sermon on this. When God was calling me, I knew it. He was speaking in my heart. I don't know how to explain it, but I knew that God was calling me into the ministry. But I had every excuse in the world to say no. I said, "Lord, I quit school in the 11th grade to go to work with my family full time. I cannot be a pastor. Lord, I've been in trouble. I cannot be a pastor. Lord, I'm an ex-alcoholic. I can't be a pastor. Lord, I'm tongue-tied. I have problems pronouncing some words. Sometimes I get up here and the words just won't come out. It's the way that I was made." And I used every excuse in the world. You name it, I had it. But finding God's will for your life is not asking God to show you his will so you can review it and make a decision about it. What many want to do for God to show them what his will is so they can look it over and then decide whether or not they want to do it or not. Listen, that's not how it works. If that's your approach to finding God's will for your life, I'll say this, you will never, ever, ever find God's will for your life. He doesn't show us what he wants us to do so we can look it over and then think about it and then make a decision. No, listen, Jesus said, "Take up thy cross and follow me." If we want God to direct our path and we need to be obedient, submit to the will of God. I couldn't help but think about old Abraham. He didn't know where God was going to lead him, but he was willing, wasn't he? He knew the Lord, and he knew that God was leading him, and the path wasn't disclosed for him. He didn't tell Abraham, "This is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to face." He didn't tell him all that. Abraham was totally committed to God's will. Abraham said, "Lord, I don't know what you'll have for me to do, but I'm going to be obedient." Reminds me of that song. They touched on it a while ago in that special music. That song that says, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand." You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to take my hand and lead me on. That the song goes on and says, I'm tired. I'm weak and I'm alone through the storm and through the night. Lead me on, Lord, to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When you submit to the God's will, that's what you're saying. Lord, here I am. Take my hand and lead me and let me do what thou wants me to do. There's another little sub-point here. Not only do we need to submit, but we need to be, listen to this, sensitive to the will of God. Once we find God's will for our life, we got to stay in his will. And that requires us to be sensitive to his voice. The Bible says this in verse 5 and 6. In 6, it talks about somebody that's listening to God and being sensitive to his leading. I think of how God revealed his will to Paul on one of his missionary journeys. And you'll remember it is in Acts chapter 16. Paul completed his mission there at a certain place, and his plans was to go south and minister there in Asia. And the Bible says that he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost. I wonder how Paul knew that the Holy Spirit was talking to him. He knew because he had a personal relationship with him. He was sensitive. He had submitted his will to him, and he was sensitive to his will. And he knew when the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. The Bible says he shall direct our path. But listen, we've got to be sensitive to his leading. Amen. A.W. Tozer said this. I love it. He says, the footprints of the obedient sheep is always found in the larger footprints of the shepherd. Boy, that makes goosebumps just go all over me. Let me say this. God will never lead you to do anything contrary to the word of God. Say amen. God will never lead you to do something that is contrary to the Bible. Somebody might say, well, I was made this way. I've heard that. I was born this way. Let me say this. You're born in a sin nature and you make a choice, but if it's not backed up by God's word, it's not right. Somebody might say, well, maybe it's a mother-to-be, and she'll say, this is my body. This is me. This is my body, and I can do with it what I want to. Well, I want to say this. Does it line up with God's word? Does it line up with the Bible? If it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it's not right. Do you want your path to be directed by the Lord? Then you need to let him lead you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. You know what? Too many pulpits are silent when it comes to sin anymore. But I'm here to tell you there must be preaching on sin. Sin is serious, folks. Sin separates us from a holy God. And I know we live in a time where man calls it an accident, but God calls it an abomination. I know we live in a time when man calls it an infirmity, but God calls it iniquity. I know we live in a time when man calls it a liberty, but God calls it lawlessness. I know we live in a time when man calls it unimportant, but God says it's transgressions. We live in a time where man calls it weakness, but God calls it willfulness. Man calls it an alternate lifestyle, but God still calls it an abominable lie. Listen, we've been too quiet in the pulpits. We're to shine as Christians. We're to shine in a distinctive way in this dark world in which we live in. I'm telling you, far too many people profess, but they don't practice They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. And a recent survey found that there's very little difference in the behavior of the church folks and the unchurched folks. That's sad. And the poll went on to say that most people's religion is secondary. Vance Havner said this: we have too many noun Christians and not enough adjective Christians. Think about that. You know what a noun is? A person, place, or thing. And an adjective shows action toward that noun. Listen, being a Christian is being an adjective Christian. It's action. We're to obey his will. Amen? Here's number two. Not only should we obey his will, but we need to obey his word, right? Solomon not only says, trust in the Lord there in verse 5, with all thy heart, but he continues by saying, and lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that what it says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Listen, how do we acknowledge him? How do we know God today? Well, we know him by reading what God says in his word and then acting on it. Do you want a book that can help you in your marriage? Read the Bible. Amen? Do you want a book that describes how you're supposed to live in this crazy world which we're living in today? Pick up your Bible. Do you want a book that teaches you how to raise your family today? Get in God's Word. Do you want a book that'll keep you out of trouble? Stay in the Bible. Do you want a book that's full of history and poetry and love and full of songs and prophecy? Read God's Holy Word. Do you want a book that teaches you about the greatest person that has ever lived, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ? Get in God's Word. Do you want a book that teaches you how to live and how to have eternal life? Get in God's Word. Read the Bible. It's the greatest book ever written because it was inspired by Almighty God. There's a book that puts together the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. If there's a book that provides answers and help to the readers, it's the Bible. What's the little children's song? The B-I-B-L-E? That's the book for me. Hey, we need to go back sometimes and think like a children, like a child, and say the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And since the Word of God can be believed fully and followed faithfully, Solomon goes on to say this: lean not so much on our insights. Whew. Listen, the Bible says, lean not unto thy own understanding. That word understanding there simply speaks of our own insight, our own intelligence. Now, a lot of folks don't like to hear that. That word lean there speaks of placing your weight on something for support. And I'm telling you, you can lean on God's word. I was at the hospital a couple of Fridays ago with April. DJ was having his surgery, and I don't know if April's seen this, but I almost made a fool out of myself. I was standing there, and the nurse came in to do something with little DJ, and I don't know what made me think of this, but out the corner of my eye, I thought I seen a column. I don't know what made me think of that, and I was trying to get out of the way, and I leaned to try to lean on that column. Well, guess what? It wasn't a column. It was a curtain. Did you see me? It was a curtain, and it was rounded at the end, and I leaned on that curtain, and it wasn't nothing behind that curtain, and I almost fell. It was plumb embarrassing. And I'm glad you didn't see me, April. Huh? You did? Listen, be careful what you lean on. Don't lean on what the world tells you to do. Lean on God's word. Not only do we lean not on thy own understanding, but we look at his instructions. Instead of leaning on our understanding, Solomon tells us that in all thy ways acknowledge him. That word acknowledge means to know or to lean. And it's more than knowing about the Lord. It's to know Him in a personal way. How do we learn about the Lord and how do we know Him personally? We do so by the reading and the studying and the fellowship and the prayer time we have with God. The Bible is how God speaks to us today. Therefore, when we need His direction in life, when we need to stay on the right path in life, we should look at what the Word of God says and follow His instructions. I believe that. I read one time this: as long as there are questions, never make a move. Keep praying until God removes the question and gives you peace. And I read that, and I didn't know if I went along with it. You know, you got to be careful what you read nowadays. But I couldn't help but think back about my mama when I was born, and I didn't weigh but 2 pounds and 4 ounces, and the doctor told my mama that I wouldn't make it through the night because I was so premature. And this was in the old days, 1962. That's supposed to be a joke right there. Mom had already lost 2 children, and I'll never forget. She told me this so often. Mama said that she went home and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until God gave her a peace. Not an answer, but a peace. And then she said she went to bed and went to sleep. Listen, as long as there's a question, keep on praying until God gives you a peace. Sometimes we just need to wait, don't we? Sometimes we just need to wait. I needed to wait yesterday morning and let that train just pass by. I'd have made it on time if I'd just waited, but no. I had to lean on my own understanding. Last of all, Solomon tells us not only to obey His will and to obey His word, But last of all, it teaches us to observe His ways. The Bible says in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." Isn't that a wonderful verse? "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." The Bible says that He, God, will direct your path. If someone had told me in 1998, when God was calling me into the ministry and I was running, that I would have already pastored 3 churches, I would have laughed at them. The Bible says that He shall direct your path. What a blessed promise that is. You know what that means? That means that He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct your path. That word there directs a verb, and it means to be straight, to go in a smooth direction, to be pleasing. And it's directed by God. It's a straight path. Directed paths are straight paths. He saw me through all of the mountains that I would have to climb. Had to go back and get my GED and then start attending a college. I said, how in the world am I going to do that? How am I going to pay for it? God directed my path. It was a straight path. His ways are always straight because His ways are right. And they're blessed. You ever took a wrong road in life? Like me? Makes for a long road, doesn't it? I've known people who learned on their own understanding and did what they thought was right, only to realize that they had made a terrible mistake. Listen, when we let the Lord direct our path, we can be assured by God's word that it's the right path. It'll be a proper path. It's a straight path, but it's also a smooth path. As I stated earlier, not always easy, but God will see you through. I remember one time, and I got to hurry. I remember one time when I was at Fruitland, and I had to preach in front of all the professors, and Man, I worried about that for weeks and weeks and weeks. You can ask Sharon, I worried about it so much that one night I thought I was having a heart attack. I told Sharon, you got to get me to the hospital. My heart was beating 100 miles an hour. What I was doing was not taking deep breaths, and I wasn't getting oxygen to my brain. I thought I was dying. I told Sharon, if you don't get me to the ER, I'm not going to make it. I was so anxious and so nervous, and I'll never forget preaching that day. I promise. The day I preached in the they called it the pit in front of all of the professors. I was hooked up. I thought I was having heart problems. I was wired all up. Wasn't easy. But God directed it. And He saw me through. I think of that often quoted statement, I'd rather be in Africa in the will of God than to be on the throne in England out of the will of God. And isn't that so true? Happiest place in the world is the will of God. I had a good friend when I was at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and I'll close with this. His name was Gene Brooks. He was a missionary, pastored churches, and God called him to the mission field. His wife was named Amanda. They lived in our parsonage. We turned our parsonage into a mission home for missionaries, and they lived there. And I got to know him and his family pretty well. Gene was a brilliant man. He could have pastored any church he wanted. I mean, brilliant, smart, knew the Bible back and front. I was always intimidated by him. Every time I got around him, I was intimidated. He was just that type of man. I had him preach a revival for me one year, and it was a wonderful revival, and he spoke for me every Sunday night. We had discipleship training, and he went through the Bible. I'm telling you, he was brilliant. He could have pastored any church anywhere around, but God called him to the mission field. I think he had 8 children, and 1 on the way. And God called him to Africa. And I remember him being at church one night, and his wife was named Amanda, and one of the ladies of the church asked her, "Aren't you afraid to take all of your children to Africa?" I'll never forget what she said. She said, "I've lived in Pelzer." And if God can take care of me in Pelzer, God can take care of me in Africa. Hey, while they lived in Pelzer, their house got broke into. While they was upstairs, had a basement in it, their house got broke into, robbed. He didn't even have a gun to protect his family. I let him borrow a gun. I said, "I don't know how in the world you stay in here." But I'll never forget her saying that. If God can take care of me in Pelzer, God can take care of me in Africa. I'm still friends with Gene on Facebook. I see what he does on a daily basis. He trains African preachers. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I called Gene tomorrow and said, "Gene, do you have any regrets?" I guarantee you he'd say, "Pastor Buckshot, no regrets. Absolutely not. No regrets." And I want you to listen as I close. There will be no regrets for those that walk the right path that God has for them. Why? Because the path of righteousness is directed by God. You might regret not serving the Lord, but I'll assure you I've never heard anybody regret serving Him. You might regret not giving your heart to Jesus, but I guarantee you, you'll never regret giving your heart to Jesus. Man, I thought about it in my study a while ago as I prayed before I come out here. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved today. I would. Maybe there's a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, a grandma, a grandpa in here today never giving their heart to Jesus. If I wasn't saved, Boy, when I give an invitation, I'd run down the aisle. Give my heart to Christ. If I wasn't serving Him, I'd make a commitment right now. Lord, I'm going to serve You. I don't know how long I've got left here on this earth, but ever how long it is, Lord, You know. And I'm going to serve You. If I was in here today and I wasn't obedient, you know what I'd do? I'd say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to be obedient. Why? Why? Because the right path is full. Listen to me now. I'm going to quit. The right path, the blessed path, the righteousness path is full of spiritual blessings. The good path, the right path, that spiritual path is full of joy. And I don't know about you, but I need joy in this world in which we're living in. It's full of peace. And I don't know about you, but I need peace in this world in which we're living in. And it's full of understanding. And I know you're like me, that we need understanding in this world in which we're living in. We need to obey His will and obey His word and observe His ways. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Invitation is a time when you do business with the Lord. So I pray that as we come and as we sing, if there's anything that you need to do today, you be obedient to His voice. Father, we just give You this invitation. Thank You, Lord, for the time that we've had together today in Your word. And God, I pray that we would all know Your voice when we hear it. And I pray, Lord, we would all be obedient to whatever You tell us to do. Wherever, Lord, You tell us to go, help us, Lord, to be obedient. Lord, I pray if there's one in here today that needs to come, You speak right now, Lord, as only You can. May the Holy Spirit fill this place in this hour and draw us all closer to You, O God. We pray in Jesus' name.